But seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. A few days ago, conversation began at the dinner table as the girls began to recite what they had learned at school recently, reciting different formulae. One recited the formula for photosynthesis, which I will not attempt to repeat, and another congratulated on getting it right because she knew that it was correct. A third recounted the formula for calculating the surface area of a trapezoid, and each congratulated each other on their progress in education. And soon, as often happens with grade school kids and adults, the question is asked in a roundabout way, when does a person ever need this information? Sarah and I agreed that a person almost never needs to calculate the surface area of a trapezoid, and photosynthesis seems to go on regardless of whether we understand photosynthesis or could recite the formula. When I was a high school teacher for a brief period of time, I used to tell the kids that they will probably never have to solve another multi-step algebraic equation for the rest of their lives, but their brains will be required to calculate and solve multi-step life problems on countless occasions in untold numbers of circumstances. So yes, they had to do their algebra to prepare their brains for life. This very common conversation about education uncovers a common problem. That is, the problem of beginning education, proceeding with education, year upon year making advances in education without ever answering the very real question, why are we doing this? Advancing without asking the question, advancing towards what? Socrates said, the unexamined life is not worth living. But a much more popular phrase is ignorance is bliss. These days, perhaps the most common answer about educational advance is that students are advancing towards competency at a certain task for the purpose of establishing a successful career in their field. Finish education equals make money equals be happy. We're making you do your algebra so that you'll be happy. If that's not a good enough answer, at least you've begun to ask the question, examine the question, to find out for yourself. And so it's a good thing to ask yourself, why am I doing this? So that if you don't like the answers, you can change course. Jesus had much to say about examining one's life and motivations and asking oneself, why am I doing this? In his Sermon on the Mount, it's clear that he believed the people he spoke to needed to ask themselves some questions. The people Jesus spoke to were worried. They had not yet enough goods to give them peace, to make them happy. And like Socrates, Jesus encouraged them to ask a very real question. Why are you doing this? Why do you worry? About food, about clothing, about life. When we hear it as a rhetorical question, but try it as a literal question. Ask it in the same way that we stop to ask, why are we pursuing education? So that if we don't like the honest answer, we can change course. Jesus asks, why do you worry? And the answer is, oh, I know, I shouldn't worry. That's not the answer. Why do you worry? Not far from the question, why must I do my algebra? I do my algebra because my parents have told me to, or my brain needs to be expanded or something like that. It's good for me, makes me a better, sharper, more disciplined person. Okay, why do you worry about food and clothing? I worry about food and clothing because on Maslow's hierarchy of needs, food and clothing are basic physiological needs along with air, water, shelter, and sleep. And what an amazing answer that would be. And Jesus would put away the rest of his Sermon on the Mount and he would hand the microphone to you and say, that's a great answer. You take it from here. Carry on. Jesus might learn to sit at the foot of a 20th century psychologist, Abraham Maslow, and learn that your spiritual life is akin to self-actualization, and you only get to that stage of concern when everything else is cared for first. physiological needs, and then safety needs, and then love and belonging, and then esteem, and finally self-actualization, being all that you can be. Take care of all those needs first. And when you're good and stable enough a citizen of the world, and when you've been fully educated and fully bankrolled and fully and satisfactorily clothed and sheltered and loved and healthy and safe and accomplished, then trust the Lord. Just the icing on the cake. Did Jesus just not understand life? Jesus spoke to a people who clearly sensed that they didn't have enough yet. And he commanded them and us, be not anxious for your life. And again, later in that same section, be not therefore anxious. Your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The heavenly Father did not need Abraham Maslow to remind him that human beings have needs. He's the one who created us, and he created us needy on purpose. He created us needy so that we would labor in whatever garden he placed us in, and all through that work, trust in him for the fruit. What a relationship would develop. He created us needy so that we would use our skills and talents that he gave us to the best of our ability, and rejoice in him when we see the fruit. He placed us in this garden so that we would sing to him each day in our work and in our labor, and worship him all together corporately on Sunday. A life of faith in God, in his kingdom, in his righteousness, is not the icing on the cake. It is the cake. St. Augustine wrote, when he said, that is Jesus, when Jesus said that the one is to be sought first, the kingdom of God, Jesus clearly intimates that the other, food and clothing, etc., is to be sought later. Not that it is to be sought at a later time, but that it is to be sought as a thing of secondary importance. He showed that the one is to be sought as our good, that the other is to be sought as something needed for us, but that the needful, food and clothing, is to be sought for the sake of the good, for the kingdom of God. Seek first his kingdom. Why are we doing this? Why are you in church this morning? Why did you make an effort to say prayers, to do good, to please God, to be Christ-like? Why are you doing this? Let us not pretend that we are keeping the church afloat in the world. As photosynthesis, it will take place whether we understand or participate in it or not. And likewise, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. You're not keeping the church afloat. Why are we doing this then? Because the Christian faith is an important part of the lifestyle of an upstanding, healthy, wealthy, and wise person. Jesus has something to say about that. There is no end to the worries in a life that takes faith as just one more thing to worry about. It's bottomless. And Jesus asks the very real question then, why so much do we worry? You worry about so many things because so many things have taken a higher priority than the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Because having it all together has taken the highest priority, and being perceived as having it all together is not a sure thing. You could lose it at any time. The kingdom of God and his righteousness, however, is sure. It does not falter when you falter. Your heavenly Father knows you need these things. Seek him first. And regardless of the swirling and changing of our culture and all of our culture's claims, reality is pretty stable. God is pretty stable, unmovable, in fact, omniscient, omnipresent, and all good. The Holy Spirit is the Lord and giver of life. He works through the church and all her sacraments, and he works in you. He does not change, and the church isn't going anywhere. The Lord Jesus Christ has conquered death, in fact. He has taken all humanity with him into hell and back, and having ascended into heaven, he shows us that our way is sure when our faith is in him. That the kingdom of God is sure because he is the King of Kings, and that righteousness is sure because he is righteousness. And the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost ask today the very real question, why then do you worry? If the answer is, quite honestly, because I do not yet fully believe, then pray, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. If the answer is, because I have viewed all my needs as primary and my Lord as secondary, pray that he would help you set things right today and begin to see his kingdom first and his righteousness first. And if the answer is that you've always been this way, that it's your nature to worry, then let us pray today that in this sacrament, the Prince of Peace, that is Christ Jesus, would take up permanent and full residence in you, and that the throne room of your heart and soul would finally be filled with Christ alone, and that he would reign supreme in you, that his kingdom would come, and his righteousness would be yours. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.